So honored to be here at River Oaks. So honored to bring the word to you guys. This message has never been preached before. And you're going, Floyd, let's get out of here. I'm so excited to give you. I just called an audible and said, I have to. Let me explain. I wrote a book called On My Worst Day. And I've written a number of books with other authors, Bill Thrall, Bruce McNichol for True Face, but this one I wrote by myself. And it's, when you think about it, it's not really a good legacy for the end of your life. You know, after I pass away and at the memorial service, they say, what was his book again? On His Worst Day. Huh? Cheery fella, huh? Yeah. You want more. So I'm writing a new book, On My Best Day. And I'm going to try it out today as I begin to write the book. So I hope it is a gift to you. If it's not, it's going to be a long set of minutes. So I've imagined worst days, good days, great days, and best days. Worst days I already wrote about, good days, great days. Best days. I want you to kind of, if you can, I don't know if you have a phone on your Bible's on your phone or if it's like this, but turn to Romans 8:28. If this verse is not in Scripture, I do not know what I do. And we know that God causes all things to work together for those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. We know, we are convinced of, this has grabbed our soul, that God causes everything that happens on this earth to me, and He works it together with things until somehow, even though it doesn't make the event better or less evil, somehow He reworks it so that sometimes it actually turns out better than it was before. Wow. How can that be in Scripture? But there it is. And then if I hold my finger there and I go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 says, here's what keeps us from not losing heart. We don't lose heart because this is the God that we have. This is His MO of Romans 8. And here, even though our outer man is decaying, our inner man is being renewed every single day. Every single day, like taking perfectly enriched soil and turning it over so that it gets oxygen and light so that it can bear fruit. Every single day, no matter what's happening, He's doing that to you. You are a better version of you next week than you are today. He never makes that mistake. And so here's your God on two tracks. And this is His MO. This is what He is most concerned about all the time. So, I'm giving some working definitions. One of them is for worst days. If you could put that up. Worst days, when you are stunned and shattered by calamity, a broken dream, or harm that you never saw coming, and you cannot figure out God's intention. That's a worst day, huh? I've written a book on them. I've had some of these. When you are stunned and caught off guard, shattered by calamity or a broken dream or harm that you never saw coming, and you cannot figure out God's intention. And some of us get stuck there. And we find ourselves self-protecting and asking, how many of these does God think I can take? And so we live guarded, we live waiting for that next thing and blaming God for it and saying, God, where are you? And you start to take over. And you start to say, I will run this world because I can't trust what God's going to do with it. That's a dangerous, dangerous, dangerous place for us to be. And I have been there. Then I put up a slide of good days. Good days. Ah, yes. Working definition. When you are fully in the moment, with family or friends or some wonderful success, and God couples it with the gift of being able to enjoy it. Oh. See, Ecclesiastes chapter 3 says, enjoyment is a gift from God's hand, and he gives it to those who trust him. Wow. That's a good day. You're fully in the moment. You're with friends, family. Success is happening. But it's not just that success that you can't enjoy. God couples it with the gift of being able to enjoy it. That's a good day. Raise your hand with me if you've had some of those. Isn't that so cool? Your God says, I'm giving you those as a gift. You did not manipulate or earn those. When I raise my hand, I'm saying, my God did not overlook me. Those are good days. And then great days. Oh, man. Great days are like maybe near dusk. You're almost afraid that the day will end because God has nearly burst your senses with wonder and hope and tenderness and destiny, touching the deepest part of your being beyond what you had previously imagined possible. I've had those days where maybe near dusk I'm saying, please don't let this stop, please don't let this stop. How do we draw this out? I don't know if it's ever going to come by again. And you are almost afraid the day's going to end because your God, making no mistake, and it wasn't random, has nearly burst your senses with wonder and love and tenderness and destiny, touching the deepest part of your being beyond what you had previously imagined possible. Raise your hands if you've had some great days. You know, it's crazy. I'm looking at almost everybody in the room raise their hands. This is our God. Now, there's only one thing, in my opinion, better than a great day, and that's a best day. A best day when nearly out of the blue, God reveals the life-transforming experience of a worse day redeemed into purity, meaning, clarity, and transcendent joy long after you had lost hope that it could or would. Wouldn't that be how God would play it? A best day would be when nearly out of the blue, God reveals the life-transforming experience of a worst day being redeemed into purity, meaning clarity and transcendent joy long after you'd lost hope that it could or would. Smack dab in the middle of that phrase is the word redeemed. That powerful theological word, it is nuanced. And yet very simple. To have something redeemed literally means to liberate by payment that it would cause me to be released from debt or blame. If it's my fault or some debt that's been done against me, somebody has been paying for it so that I could be released from debt or shame. A secondary definition is literally to offset or override the bad effect. So that's what redemption is. God sets up in his perfect timing, says, now. And he has paid for it, and you discover yourself liberated from debt or blame to offset, and override the bad effect. Now, this redemption is whether you caused the damage or the damage was done to you or someone you love. Redemption, here's what it does. It washes over, it cleanses you, it heals and releases and frees and gives new meaning and new life. And here's your God. Right now in this room, he is right now redeeming, even though you can't see it. Every bad story, every failure, every loss, every estrangement, every broken heart. He makes no mistakes. He adores you that much. Listen to that in Romans 8:28 again. God causes all things. Terrible things, chronic things, sad things, broken things, ugly things. He says, I wrap those up and I take all of them. I cause all things to work together for your good and my glory. Is that crazy that he put that in Scripture? God causes all things, the things that you never, never, never wanted to have happen. And I'll cause them to work together for good for you. He's actually able to turn evil into good, often even better than if it had never happened. It doesn't mean the event wasn't horrible or that the event didn't happen or that the event doesn't hurt. And like I say, if this verse is not in Scripture, I don't know what to do. And remember what 2 Corinthians says. It's this reality that keeps me from losing hope. God does not restore everything in our lifetime, huh? Some of these stories that we're talking about, it takes a while. I love Revelation 21. He says, I saw a new earth and a new heaven, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready with a bride adorned from her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be among them. Now listen to what he says. This is exactly whatever you think you're taking into heaven, whatever thing you think this will never get redeemed. Look at the posture he says that you have within moments of having shown up. First thing you get is pie. You get a free piece of pie. And then you get to go bowling. Someone holds your pie while you're bowling. It's so cool. It's in the Old Testament. You'd have to read about it. And then he would say, come with me, kid. I got something to show you. And every day, come with me, kid. I got something to show you. That's all he does all the time. He loves you so much. What bugs me, though, is that people think they've figured it out. They think they can figure out God's will and how he's doing it. You can't, by the way. But I love it. When people try to see how redemption looks, they're so certain they can describe how God's redeeming their particular situation. You've heard them many times. And then you see, God caused Floyd to take the wrong highway so that we could meet that person at the Piggly Wiggly who would tell us about the home repair tax reduction kit. and so that we could take the extra money and invest it into a piece of property that was almost to the exact dollar allowed, so that we could buy a boat that the high school group could use for the church that would be able to be had on occasion. Isn't that wonderful how he blessed us? You have no idea. And when you tell such a story, it really infuriates the people who have not seen their redemption come yet. Give me that next slide. Either your God is unwilling, no, he's willing but unable to bring redemption to your worst sadness. Either that's true, or your God is willing but unable to bring redemption to your worst sadness. And your God is able but unwilling because of your lack of faith to bring redemption to your worst sadness. Or, third one, God was able to do more back in the Old Testament when he was younger and stronger. I mean, right? When he parted the Red Sea, what? You don't see him do that. It's because he's older. He wants to do well by you. He really does. But it has to be small things. It has to be travel mercies now. Things like that. God's saying, man, I want to help you. No, I do, but I can't remember all the kids' names. What can I tell you? Duck. Maybe he is like that. Or maybe God is so overwhelmed by evil and can only offer you his best wishes and maybe travel mercies. Is that your God? Or is God willing and able and lovingly determined to bring redemption to your worst sadness? That's your God. He is willing, he is able, and he is lovingly determined to bring redemption to your worst sadness. That's your God. On your worst day. Life's not happening at you with no net. You've been eternally planned for. You see it in Ephesians 6. God is constantly inspecting and taking. Remember those darts and those arrows that are aimed at us by the evil one? God just grabs and stops and goes, shh. No, we won't use that one. That would destroy my child. Shh. No. Shh. Oh, wait. I can refashion this one. I'll let this one get through. No. Yeah, refashion. He does it all day long. There's never a mistake. I'm never on a net by myself. I've been planned for. This salvation is not just a ticket to heaven. I got a brand new life. A new life that gave me a new destiny, that gave me a new love, that gave me a new father, that gave me an eternal purpose to what seemed so random before. Wires are getting connected better than ever before. You're not a failure. You're not a mistake. You're a child of God now, adored by him. Fully righteous, fully redeemed, holy, fully beloved, given a new shame-free identity, you are fused with God. At this very moment, he says, I defy you to see where I drop off and where he starts up. That's who you are. That changes everything. See, he's doing the redemption right now. And the only question is, will you believe it? This is a huge one. Will you believe it? It'll change the quality of your life. It'll allow you to stop self-protecting. It will allow you to stop controlling your world. It will allow you to stop having to pay attention to me, because his MO is that he's taking care of me. And now I can pay attention to you. And to you. And I get to give this brand new life away so that I can love. That's a powerful exchange. Next slide. God never makes mistakes concerning you. God never says, oops. God's redemption is never a consolation prize. God never plays you. God cares more about your loss than you do. God suffers more in your loss than you do. God thinks more about your loss than you do. God loves you more than you do. And God has already reformed this event's redemption from before the world began. All for you, kid. All for everyone in this room who has even clumsily dared to ask Christ into their heart. It's all happening for you. I don't care how much you failed. I don't care what you're holding on to right now secretly. God is doing this without mistake. What kind of love is that? Worst days, good days, great days, but best days. I've had best days. Okay, let me start it out on worst day. I got violated in fifth grade. Badly violated. Tough kid at school. Upland, California. No, right where it took place. See, I still see the boxcars. So violated that I didn't think anyone could handle me with such news. And so you know what I did? I hid it. I covered it up. From fifth grade all the way through, we wrote a book called True Face. I actually wrote that book, had never told anyone. I was so afraid that you would go away. I was so afraid that I would lose my credibility, somehow that I would lose my seat at the table if I told you. And then one day I told a best friend, and I dared tell my wife. And now I tell everybody. It's in a movie, The Heart of Man. Some of you have seen that movie. I actually tell that story in the movie. Anyway, here's how a terrible day can become the best day. We're invited to a birthday party. It's over in Gilbert, Stacy and I, and it's young people. They're in their 30s, and they don't have to sleep. Pops and Cece, we need to go to sleep. We need to be in bed by 9:30. This thing doesn't start till 9. I don't want to go to it. But it's a birthday party, and we like the guys, so we go. Everybody there has read my books and seen Worst Day. I'm like a celebrity there. They've seen The Heart of Man, and they're all greeting me, and they're quietly going, there he is, there's the guy. But there's one guy over on the side, and he's pretty scuffy looking. He's a little ragged looking. And he stands up and says, hey, look, I know you're here for the birthday party, but could we go off by ourselves and talk for a little bit? And inside I'm thinking, no. Not at all do I want to go with you anywhere. But you don't have a choice. So I walk out front with him, and he puts my face in his hands, and he says, you don't know. You don't know how messed up my life and how much I've been violated. You have no idea. I was ready to take my life. I had all the tools. I had everything ready to go that night. I was going to be that night. And somehow I ended up seeing that film with you in it. Look at me. I didn't take my life. And my marriage is restored. Do you hear me? And I thought, you're so close to my face. But boy, did I hear him. That was so profound to me. Worst day turned into a best day through redemption long after I thought it would happen. It happens in a lot of different ways. Sometimes your best day isn't from someone changing, but waking up to discover that you see differently. I remember the day I woke up for years and years and years feeling dirty, and the day that I woke up feeling, I'm clean, Jesus. I'm clean because you say I am. Worst day into a best day. I never felt that clean before that day, and now nobody can take it away from me. Sometimes your best day is not from hearing validation, but trusting that God defined you instead of the event. Someday you will be convinced that this shame story that says there's something uniquely wrong about you and it'll never change, that it actually was taken away at the cross and it doesn't count anymore. It doesn't exist. And you were given instead a new shame-free identity. Christ in me. Jesus, Christ in me. On my worst day. That takes me from a worst day to a best day. Sometimes your best day has nothing to do with you, but God changing the heart of someone who's hurt you. Amen? Okay, slowly. Raise your hand if you've experienced God take a worst day and turn it into a best day. Look around the room. It's happening. Supernaturally, you guys. No human can manipulate that. You're experiencing the supernatural Holy Spirit power dunamis of God. God gave the template, didn't he? The cross, the most unjust, heinous, sick, hope-killing event ever, the worst day, the most innocent one dying, the most vicious death, the worst day. Can you imagine? I was trying to imagine this week, what if I could be convinced, somehow be convinced that Jesus Christ is not who he said he was, that this was all just a sham and it wasn't true. What would I do? I'd stop doing this. It would mean nothing. I'd just stop it. And where would I go? Would I love my wife? What basis would I have? The only thing I'm certain of is I'd eat a lot of pizza. I'd have no hope. I'd just stack pizza boxes in my room. The disciples were there. That same place. We loved him so much. Everything that we knew about ourselves was because of him, and now he's gone. And one day in chapter 21 of John, Peter says, I'm going fishing. It's like me eating pizza. And he goes out fishing. Remember the scene? Jesus from the shore says, you guys aren't catching any fish. They never caught fish unless it was a miracle. They were the worst fishermen in all of Galilee. You have caught nothing all night again, have you? No. He says, why don't you go on the other side of the boat? And they thought, but John especially says, where have we heard this before? And so they do, and they catch a catch that is unbelievable. And John says to Peter, Peter, it's the Lord. And what Peter does next is exactly what you do when a worst day turns into a best day that you never saw coming, that you lost hope was going to come. Peter, it says, he threw himself into the water. He didn't say he dove into the water or stepped down into the water or rowed the boat back to shore, which would have been faster. Peter, what would that have looked like? You just throw yourself into the water because you are out of your mind, because it really was true after all. That's what every single one of these worst days turning into best days are. We are watching the supernatural God who loves me more than I love me cause me to throw myself in the water just to go see him. And then what? An even more beautiful love experience between the Father and the Son, an even more tender love between Jesus and his friend, the salvation of mankind, a new heart, a new people, a new hope, a new comfort, a new strength, God with us, God for us, God in us. A true worst day, long after you thought it had a chance, turns into a best day. See, remember the statement we made earlier? Redemption. To liberate by payment so that I could be released from the debtor blame. That's what Jesus did at the cross. All of it. Past, present, future. There's nothing that defines you anymore. You are not that loser. You're not that failure. You're not that one who's never quite enough. You're not that one who even now is never going to change. You're not that person. That's redemption. And part of redemption is to offset and override the bad effect. That's what Jesus did for you at the cross. So God argues from the greater to the less. He says, if I could do this worst situation of despair and crushing evil, do you think I might be able to pull off redeeming your issue? And I know you've got some, and I know they look crazy, but this is what I do. I spend zero time disgusted with you. I spend no time shaming you or disliking you. That's not how I see you. This is my MO. The world got itself into trouble, and I'm bringing it out. I'm not breaking you. You're broken, and I'm healing you. And the quality of your life is largely in your willingness to dare to believe this preposterous claim of God could be true. Every single one of us, we're right in the middle of developing best days. Even right now, you're going to walk out of this room in a little bit, and maybe today, if you're paying attention, you're going to see something and go, God, are you doing it? I trust you're doing it. Would you let me see places where you're doing it? There's always going to be worse days. But if you stay in the moment, you're going to see them. You're going to uncover them. You're going to discover good days, great days. And soon you will see the redemption of a worst day into a best day. There are absolutely no filler wasted days. This one right now is for real. It's for you. This is your God. This is your Savior. This is your life. How does that make you feel? How does that make you feel? How does it make you feel? Yeah, I thought so. I had hoped so. This is not religious consolation. This is your God. And this is how your God works with you. Father God, this precious, powerful, beautiful group and community called River Oaks, we have experienced some bad days. And we watch them pile up and we think, how much more can we take? And instead you are saying, kid, right now, I'm taking that worst day and I'm making it beyond something you ever dreamt of. Just watch me. Relax. Rest. Stop controlling. Stop manipulating. Let me have it. I've got you. And as we go into this Christmas season, I pray for everyone in this room that we would maybe stop trying to love Jesus more and instead ask Jesus, how could I receive your love? I pray in the authority of Jesus Christ.